Terry O'Malley, who used to co-chair this task force, did suggest the addition of transitions of care as a priority related to shared care planning in our list of high priority use cases. This was discussed by the HITACH and was added as an amendment to our recommendations and subsequently approved. I don't know if anybody had any questions or comments about that in particular. Hearing none, let's go on to the next slide. In our recommendation 3, there was a lively discussion which led to a couple of changes that were made before the recommendations were finally approved. Again, for those of you who missed it, just to give a little flavor of this, we actually went through and voted on the recommendations with just Terry's amendment on the transitions of care. And when it came time to the vote, there were actually 2 nay votes on the entire package of recommendations. Both Carolyn Peterson and Alexis Snyder, who are serving as patient and family advocates with a key focus on disability, did not feel comfortable with the wording that we had initially. And as we went through the recommendations initially, you know, there was a discussion of that, an acknowledgement that there was an opportunity to think more deeply about this, but it didn't come forward as a specific amendment the first time around. So they voted nay on the package as a whole, and then we actually went back in the 11th hour and re-discussed this, asked for specific amendments, and included those. So this, with the red text, was the final wording that was voted on by the HITACH and has subsequently been transmitted to the national coordinator. That transmittal is still in review, so it has not been posted publicly. But suffice to say that there was a lively discussion about functional status and disability and the terminology that is being used. And I think an honest acknowledgement of the fact that there are opportunities to improve the way that ONC and the health IT community as a whole manages information about function and abilities. So this was the change that was made in our recommendations before it was voted on by the HITACH and approved. And before I open this up for discussion, I just want to give the full flavor. So on the next slide, this conversation also led to an additional recommendation that was added to our recommendations. So we had 9 recommendations, and the HITACH added on an additional 10th recommendation before transmitting our work to the national coordinator. This is numbered as a task force recommendation, even though it was not one that we made as a task force. It was included in the recommendations that came out of the work of the task force. I think that's a subtle difference, but I wanted to make that clear to all of our task force members. But the recommendation which HITACH added before transmitting our body of work to the national coordinator was that ONC should charge the HITACH to convene this task force to discuss the HITACH's recommendation that ONC support a social model of disability, including the advancement of relevant data elements. So that's a mouthful. There's a lot there. As I say, it was a lively discussion. I know that I've had a follow-on discussion with a number of you about this. I think, Mike, perhaps you can just sort of say how this came down with regard to the HITACH and ONC, because I don't believe that our task force is actually going to be charged with this, even though that was USCDI's, that was the HITACH recommendation. So Mike, maybe you can clarify that before we open this up for discussion.
Yeah, sure, Stephen. This, along with every other HITACH recommendation, is captured by ONC and is discussed internally, and we'll decide, what to do with this particular recommendation along with the others. You know, should the US CDI task force look at this recommendation? Should, an upcoming different task force look at this recommendation? Or should it be both? You know, that's just something that we have to discuss internally and then charge the high tax appropriately at a later date.
Thank you for that, Mike. So now I want to sort of, if you can back up a slide to the one with the edits. So I did want to invite Mark to talk briefly. Mark Savage, Mark's done a lot of work in this space, and this definitely overlaps with the work of the Gravity Project. I know Mark consulted with a few people. And did you want to share something about these data elements and specifically where they are in the evolutionary process, Mark?
Happy to do so. Thanks so much, Stephen. So the recommendation includes sort of a list that the Gravity Project had offered to the task force. And we had listed in our recommendation to the task force functional status and cognitive status separately, thinking that collectively they represented two significant components of what has been called disability status, but they're often tracked separately. The census does that, reports separate statistics on functional status and cognitive status. Mm-hmm. And it also, that sort of nomenclature and separation also lines up with sort of evolving use of the term disabled disability in the community. I'm not a deep expert in that community, but I have worked with a lot of folks. I was not able to participate in the in real time on the high-tech call, but I did listen to it afterwards, and I went back and talked to some folks because I had thought there was some disfavor with the use of the word disability, and so I'm happy to share the results. I talked with an expert at the American Association on Health and Disability and with one at DREDF, Disability Rights and Educational Defense Fund, both sort of nationwide organizations. Both acknowledge that the word disability is used frequently, but when you get down to the assessments, as one of the people mentioned, the assessments don't ask or tend not to ask, do you have a disability? And the reason they don't is because many individuals do not self-identify as disabled, or they don't want to answer yes to the label disability. So asking the question that way underestimates where people are. And so I looked at some of the assessments on CMS that CMS uses, for example, and nowhere found the word disability or disabled in them. They're taking a different approach, and that sort of lines up with what people were telling me. It's not a wholesale evolution in the language, but tending to move forward with words like functional status and cognitive status. Second point I asked, does disability status really just overlap with cognitive status and functional status? And the answer was, for the most part, yes, but there are some things that aren't quite included in functional status and cognitive status. So something to keep in mind if we are trying to be comprehensive. The three examples that this expert noted were mental health issues, autism, and speech or communication impairments. I haven't delved into that myself, but I just flag that it may not be a perfect overlap, even if it is a pretty significant overlap, perhaps for US CDI purposes. The third point is just my own. It's not one that I vetted with either of these experts, but it goes to this the other slide, Stephen, about the social model, and I did take a look at that too. And this is perhaps overgeneralizing a bit, but the difference is between the medical model and the social model. The medical model tends to say the issue is with the individual. The individual has a disability. And the social model tends to say that the issue is with the environment. The environment hasn't adjusted to the differing abilities. And my observation is that's actually true of a lot of things. I mean, the reason that that it is so good that we've got social determinants of health data elements in USCDI now is because there are environmental and social factors that explain a lot about health status. So as a recommendation, I would say that this seems to be about far more than disability or functional status or cognitive status. I think it's probably a perspective, a way of looking at things that goes across the board. Anyway, that's the result of my phone calls to people to try to get some thoughts from experts about the conversation.
Thank you so much, Mark. Dan, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thanks. I have a lot potentially to say about this, but we'll hold it for whatever reconvened group might pick this up. Having been deeply involved in this world for essentially my whole career, the two things I'd mention are the current proposal that is in USCDI is based on the WHO's framework for functioning, which is called the International Classification for Functioning, which explicitly is the newest iteration, i.e. a biopsychosocial model that intentionally trying to unify the prior distinctions between the sort of medical model and the social model, which was first kind of posited by Nagy back in the 60s, which was very, very useful. But the ICF is for sure the preeminent way of organizing these constructs. So in fact, you know, to some extent, what's on the table for ONC to consider has already taken that into account. I don't think the high-tech members maybe fully appreciated that. But along with that framework comes very helpful constructs for describing functioning and its applicability across body functions, body structures, activities, and participation, which actually unify this perspective of things related to physiology, things related to individual characteristics, the environment, and social factors as well. But to Mark's point, the other, I think, useful component of the ICF is the framework for understanding both those body functions and structures as well as the activities, so that we can think about things like mental functioning as well as physical functioning. And again, when I say functional status or functioning, I'm thinking not just physically, right? But the physical components of that combined with, say, mental components of it and express themselves in the context of an individual's ability to carry out, say, IADLs or instrumental activities of daily living. So I think these are fantastic. I'm so excited and glad that this got so much attention at High Tech. It's definitely worthy of it. And as the Gravity Project illustrated, fits the criteria for like our multimodal, multi-use case kind of information. But definitely there's a lot to sort of dig into. So in some sense, I would fully support the spirit of what they were trying to convey in this recommendation. But actually sort of in some ways, the specific language of, quote, a social model of disability is actually somewhat outdated. And we now have a better internationally developed over like 20 years framework that includes sort of the universe of the medical and social combined. Thanks.
Thank you so much. And Dan, what did you say the ICF stands for?
The International Classification of Functioning, Disability, and Health. It's a official member of WHO's classification family, right akin to ICD. And in fact, ICD-11 contains components of the ICF inside of it, and specifically has links to enable kind of their joint usage together.
Marvelous. Thank you. Clem, your hand is up.
Yeah, I wanted to comment, maybe some of it's a little carping. I wish instead of fighting over words, we actually got into the meat. I was on a panel, and a couple of people came up with the idea that they really are problems with getting measures of functional status in routine care. And I think what we really need to do is to focus down on which one should we be using and try to get people to use them. You know, Medicare actually does a pretty good job with some of their OASIS and the other kind of forms. So that's one side of it. The other thing is you've got to be conscious, though, of turning the 8 minutes or 10 minutes providers have with patients into a 40-minute data collection effort. So there's some tensions between the two. Oh, finally, one last thing. I wished we could have gotten in two more things into the request for three, because NIH has asked for it. NARA and NIAA had asked for these things a year and about 18 months ago. And that is questions about drug abuse and questions about alcohol use. And they're simple. Audit C is the one I think they're asking for. These are standard kind of ones. And I wish we could find a pathway to get these kinds of questions also in. And it's another dimension of all, you might say, social functioning. But and with drug abuse, it's become so important with the death rate is like twice the death rate from car accidents now. Anyway, that's my pitch.
Thank you, Clem. Great, great input. And I think it really does highlight the opportunity that ONC has and that was transmitted by the HITACH to really dig into this. And, you know, as I've thought about this since the meeting, you know, as both a clinician and an informaticist, I can really see the value of having, you know, functional status information, cognitive status information standardized and transmitted along with the USCDI. So I do hope that ONC takes this on and figures out where this is going to be looked at. I think that the USCDI component of this is a subset, that there's a lot more here than just what are the data elements or classes that will be included in USCDI. So I think, you know, I think it was a good decision to not immediately send this back to our task force, but to do some additional work and determine if or when it's appropriate to come back to us. But perhaps next year we will have a chance to
So one little tiny count. I think they suggested that the activities of daily living might be the best. And someday, Mark, I'd like to get your feedback on some of those.
Happy to do that.
Yeah, so again, we are at time for public comment, so we're going to transition over to that. We may have a few minutes at the end to wrap up this discussion, but let's go to public comment.
All right. Thanks, Stephen. Operator, will you open the line for public comments?
Thank you. If you would like to make a public comment, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. A confirmation tone will indicate your line is in the queue. You may press star 2 if you would like to remove your line from the queue. And for participants using speaker equipment, it may be necessary to pick up the handset before pressing the star key. One moment while we pull for comments.
And while we're waiting, I just want to thank all the task force members in particular, and especially Stephen and many of you for many long hours of hard work over these past many months, and for our program lead, Dr. Al Taylor, for their great work. And on behalf of all of us at ONC, we really thank you for all of your time and effort. I think we kicked off in February, and here it is September, and we're just wrapping up for this cycle. And just want to thank you. We really appreciate it. Operator, do we have any public comments?
There are no comments at this time.
All right. Thank you. Stephen?
Yes. So I want to echo your thanks, Mike, to you personally and to Al and the entire team, the Excel team and the other folks from ONC who've supported the work of this task force. I think we did a pretty dang good job. I think we did our homework and turned in a good set of recommendations. And I think we saw earlier in the year that they actually did move the needle on USCDI version 2, and I anticipate they will also help to in the crafting of the draft V3. I want to thank all of the task force members for your time and participation, which has just been incredible, including those who needed to sort of, you know, step off the boat partway down the river. It's been a great group, and I do hope that a number of us have a chance to come back together next year and continue this work. With that, I'd really like to invite Al to say a few words. Al, you've missed a couple of meetings, but you know your guidance and participation has just been incredibly valuable and important to the work of this task force. And I'd love to hear any thoughts you had about the presentation we made to HITECH or anything else before we wind up.
Thanks, Stephen. I appreciate the kind words. And I also want to reiterate the appreciation for all of the hard work, Stephen, Leslie, especially the many hours outside of the task force meetings as well. I'm working to turn this into a much better product. I think I don't have any specific, you know, words of advice or anything. I think that the recommendations and the, really are very useful, actionable. And that was my goal, was to make sure that if it felt like I was pushing a little bit in a particular direction, it was primarily just to get the recommendations into very succinct and actionable ones, which ONC could actually take and sink our teeth into. So I want to thank everybody for that, and for not getting too upset by some of my use of force. And I look forward to working with as many as possible in the future, future iterations of this task force or possibly other HITECH activities as well.
Thank you, Al. Anyone else on the task force have anything to share in our last 90 seconds here?
Yeah, I'd like
Sasha,
to
I see you made it. Welcome.
Well, I was going
to Sorry, go
you.
Ahead.
Let's thank Steve, because he's worked so hard for so long as a leader of this committee. And I think he's kept us kind of in line and gotten stuff done. Both of them really laudable. So thank you, Steve.
Well, it has truly been a pleasure to work with all of you and to work with ONC. This is really one of the most fun committees that I'm on, and I'm on a bunch of them. So again, I hope we can meet again early next year and continue this important work. With that, we are at time on this very, very quick meeting today. And just thank you all again, and have a wonderful day.
Thanks so much.